music for the Lord to hear. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia.
Thank you, choir. Good morning, 12th Street. If you're with us for the first time or you're an original attender, you're in for a treat. We have the Allen family with us today. We have them with song and worship, but also Mr. Todd Allen will be bringing us God's word today. So before that happens, I have a few quick announcements. If you have a bulletin, please open it. We'll go through it real quick. I am not going to hit everything because you have it right in front of you, but I want to highlight a few different things. First of all, if you're going to be around on Wednesday at 5:30, we're going to have dinner with the Allen family. Please sign up in the foyer, and at 7 o'clock, they will be here singing and filling this church full of gospel music and worship. So please be here if you can and celebrate that with the Allen family. Also, next week on the 12th begins our kickoff with Awana Youth Group, college and career. It's just a chance for each and every one of you to get plugged in to 12th Street. So I want to encourage you guys to get plugged in. There's something for everybody. Now, next, also on the 12th, that begins our meals at 5:30. I want to stress this is very important, that you please sign up for those meals. If you don't sign up and you show up and you want something to eat, you're going to be last in line. So those that sign up will be first, and you're going to have the smorgasbord. And if there's leftovers and you didn't sign up, then you get the leftovers. So please make sure you sign up. That's very important. We want to make sure that the cooks and everybody that's preparing the meal prepares enough meals and food for everybody. So please, again, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you plan on being here 5:30, before getting plugged into Awana youth group, college and career, and Bible study, please sign up. Also, there's going to be a baby shower on September 16th for the Cortez family. If you don't know the Cortez family, please raise your hand, Cortezes. That's the Cortezes. We want to get to know the Cortezes, so if you don't know the Cortezes, please sign up and attend. This is a good way to get to know members of the church, the Cortez family. They have a baby shower. Let's celebrate that. And not only, this isn't only for the ladies. Men, you're also welcome to attend. But if you want to attend, please let Jorge know that you're going to attend so that he kind of knows and can prepare for that. So that on September 16th, we want to make sure and celebrate the Cortez family with the coming of their newborn. So, what's that? I heard something. Okay. I might be hearing things. I'm getting older. September 26th. I don't have jokes, so I'm not going to stand up here, and I don't want to get booed. I don't want to get booed by Scott, so I don't have jokes. September 22nd is our tag team event. This is where 12th Street and Galilee Baptist Church is going to meet at Bronson Park, and we're going to join together and give the community what the community needs, and that's a joint effort in bringing the gospel to Kalamazoo. So we're going to be doing that on September 22nd. If you can attend, great. If you can volunteer your time, great. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up and volunteer your time. There's a few things that they need. I have it highlighted. They gave it to me, but I don't bring my phone up here. But I know they need water bottles. If you can donate water bottles, hot dogs, hot dog buns, it's right here. Small bottles of water, hot dogs, hot dog buns, bags of chips. If you can donate these things, please get with Cheryl. Get with Cheryl and we can get those things, get that set up for the 22nd. We want to make sure that when we get there on the 22nd, we are prepared for the whole city of Kalamazoo to fill Bronson Park where we can preach the gospel and do it together and show that it doesn't matter if we're black, it doesn't matter if we're white, it doesn't matter if we're red, yellow, that we can come together and give God's word. So keep those things in mind. Those are what we have coming into the future of September. So just look over your bulletin, see the rest of the announcements. Just one more real quick because I do the youth. There will be no youth group Wednesday because the Allen family is going to be here. And I want to encourage everybody that is to come out for the Allen family and to be able to listen to them and not only cheer them on with being here, but just being able to listen to them. I listened to them a few times now, and they're pretty good. So they do their best. So I want to encourage that on Wednesday again. Make sure you're here for the Allen family. And I believe that's all announcements. So let's pray. And then when we get done praying, let's welcome each other, shake our hands, and be glad that we're here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful rain, the sunshine that follows, Lord, and the growth that follows with that, Lord. Thank you for the 12th Street family being able to be out here today, Lord, and just coming together and uplifting your name. Thank you for the Allen family, for them wanting to be here and praising your name and worship. But not only that, Lord, with Todd and bringing your word, Lord, I just pray that we open our hearts and lift you up today, Lord. Lord, I just pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You may stand and greet those around you.
sing together. Let's stand and sing. Ready?
I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Yeah, that victory.
Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the Allen family being here. Lord, we thank you for their ministry and for their trying to reach people with the gospel. And Lord, we just thank you for our church today. May you bless it with this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Emphasis that 12th Street is so very much a part of with us in our emphasis over in Uganda, and thank you so very, very much for your prayers and your contributions to our work in Uganda. Wow. Good to be here this morning. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning? Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. This is going to be a wonderful morning. I knew that I was going to be preaching for you this morning. And, you know, whenever you have an opportunity to preach, there's a lot of things that you can kind of go back to and say, I can preach this message, I can preach this message, and just kind of refresh yourself. on how you put the outline together and those kinds of things. But I was not getting any particular direction on any of those. And so as I was driving yesterday, all day, as a matter of fact, we left Brest in Missouri and then all the way over here for last night. And so here we are with you this morning. It's just been tremendous, the schedule. And it's either been singing or driving. singing and driving. If you want to know what it's like for a family like ours to live on a bus, well, it's singing and driving. Singing and driving. And so, but as I was driving, the Lord just seemed to be pouring some things into my heart, into my spirit, things that we've experienced here in the recent past, and just what God is just putting in my spirit for you this morning. So I'm just trusting that you're going to be blessed this morning. Amen? How many of you come here this morning for a blessing from the Lord? Amen? So this is a word from God. And you know, I kind of follow that up with the song that we just sang, Higher Ground. You know, the Bible says, who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? Everybody needs to be getting closer to where God is. Amen? We need to be on the upward way. New heights we ought to be gaining every day. Amen? Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Who is going to ascend to that place? Well, the Bible answers the question, says he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The cleaner your hands are, the purer your heart is, the closer to the Lord you become. You begin to acknowledge him for who he is. And in his presence, the Bible said that there is fullness of joy. Joy. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning. How many of you have got joy? I've got the joy down in my heart. Well, most Baptist people, they would say it like, I've got the joy down in my heart. And then we would say, where? And then, well, it's down in my heart. Well, you know, if it's down in the well, then it ought to come up in the bucket. Amen? And so if you've got joy this morning, you of all people should not try to suppress that joy. You should make it manifested in your life. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. So what does it look like? Your countenance and your action are an indicator of where you are on the mountain of God. Are you down at the base of the mountain? Are you desiring to ascend into the hill of the Lord? But are you still way down at the bottom? Are you somewhere in between? Or have you made it to that height of sublimacy? Is that a word? Sublimacy? Sublime? Something like that. You know what? I just got a country education, so just work with me. If you don't know the difference in sublime and sublimacy, then we're all the same, right? And so anyway, to get to that place, to where you are in the presence of God, where your joy is unrestrained and unhindered. That's the place where I want to be. Anybody with me this morning? Let's all kind of move in that direction this morning as we look at this subject and this topic of joy and what the Bible has to say about these things. Now, some of these things that I thought about, other things I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm putting down on my, how many of you love smartphones? Amen? Yeah. So I'm just typing them down in my smartphone. So if you see me referring back to my smartphone, then I just want to kind of stay up to where I'm going here so I don't just kind of follow a rabbit trail that leads us someplace that we don't want to go, right? So we're all about the joy of the Lord. Why is it, here's the question, why is it that we are so reserved and so hesitant to express what is really inside of our emotional tank when it comes to how faith in God has filled that tank to begin with? Right? So we as Baptists, we pride ourselves on the proper interpretation of the scriptures. We're very solid and we're very sound on the doctrines of the Word of God. However, we might be lacking in the department of expressing our faith in the attitudes and the exuberance of the life. Now, that needs to be changed. Somebody, amen. I mean, we talk about those other groups as being the holy rollers and the charismatics and all of those kinds of, and for fear of being branded that, we just try to put the reins on how we're going to express ourselves. But friend, let me tell you, that whenever you've got joy deep on the inside, amen, that joy needs to be expressed. It needs to come out. We need to let the world know that there is something that God has given to us. There's a song that says, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people. And I can't figure out why I can't really shout about the joy that's in my soul. I must confess, I can't express the feeling deep inside me, but the things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. And the chorus says, I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. Now, that's exactly what's going to happen whenever the King comes again. But friend, you need to be living this side of eternity with the knowledge and the joy that He is coming again. And you don't need to be shy when you get around a whole lot of people. I am not ashamed of the gospel and what the gospel has done in my life, and neither should you be. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. We love the Lord, and we love what He has done for us, and there's a thrill in our soul whenever we sing songs like Victory in Jesus. Joy is the flag flown high o'er the castle of my heart. Amen. It is the banner. It is the witness to the world that there's something different about the children of God, that in the same situation and the struggles and the challenges of life, there is something that they can see that is different in us because we can handle it, because we don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we know the one who holds tomorrow, and we are trusting the one who holds tomorrow to hold our hand and to bring us through. Amen? That is something different about you and about me. So the Bible tells us that we are to clap our hands, and I'm glad that you just did that. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. His people, God's people, have experienced victory. Let me tell you, the victory that God gives are over battles that have already been won, battles that we are presently fighting. Listen to me. The battles that you are presently fighting have already been won. Come on. And the battles that you have to look forward to, because they are coming, those are won as well. Amen? Through Christ, all of the battles have been won. The battle of sin has been taken care of. Amen? Once and for all, through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, sin no longer hath dominion over us. It's been done. It was finished on the cross. Amen? So the battles that we have as Christians, we can have faith in God that they're already taken care of. We don't need to be down or discouraged or to struggle through this life. We are to have the attitude that this battle has already been won because God is on our side. If you are a son or a daughter or a child of God, you need not worry. Amen. Why should I be worried? For God is my Father. He is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And no matter what I face in this life, I have victory because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. We will overcome. Amen. That's who we are. And that's why joy is to be a part of our living and a part of our expression. I thought of, and I typed this down last night, David had strong faith and confidence even while he was walking down into that valley to meet the giant Goliath. The victory to come was his joy. He didn't know the outcome at the time, but he believed what the outcome was going to be. Somebody help me there. You've got to get into the sandal of a young boy when all that he had was a sling. And I don't know if he had the stones at the time, but he went down to that brook down in the valley. I'm guessing that might have been where close to where the Goliath was, but he selected his stone. But all he had was a sling and some stone, and he was going down to fight this huge warrior. And yet I believe there was joy in his heart. I believe that he had such a childlike faith that there was not even a hint of fear. I don't know that to be true. When we get to heaven, and I find out that David said, you might have said that about me, but I was shaking in my sandals, right? I don't know, but I do know that he was not going in his own power and in his own strength, for Goliath was calling him all kinds of names, and he said, you're coming to me with just rocks and stuff. And David said to him, you come to me with spear and with a sword, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And he knew that God was on his side, and I believe that there was joy in his heart about the outcome before the outcome was even revealed. Oh, can we learn something from David this morning about joy in our heart? I believe that even as he was going down into the valley, that there was joy in his heart. I believe that whenever he was slinging that stone, come on, when he was slinging, he was in the midst of the battle. He was face to face with the giant. And I believe that there was joy that was springing up in his heart, knowing that the Lord was with him. When you cannot lose, why should you worry? Amen. You just take the resources that God gives you and go for it. And whenever that stone released from his sling and planted itself deep into the forehead of that giant, and he was shocked and surprised about what was going on, and he fell over backwards, I believe that there was joy in the heart of David, knowing what God would be able to accomplish through him by his faith in the Lord. Yes, and even whenever that part was over, there was joy whenever David was able to take Goliath's own sword and sever the giant's head from off of his body and hold it up for the Philistines and for the children of God to be able to see that God was able to take a young, inexperienced soldier of a boy and take down the greatest man that probably the world had ever seen militaristically. Amen. Is that a word? Militaristically? Okay. He was able to take him. Joy in the heart of the servant of God before the battle, in the battle, and after the battle. I'm telling you that God's people have something to be excited about. We have to have joy in our lives through every circumstance and situation that we encounter. We ought to be shouting unto God with that voice of triumph, knowing that even in the battle that we're facing today, and I'm not even sure what battles you're facing, what struggles are before you, but I am sure that you are to be confident that God is with you and you have victory in spite of what you're facing. Amen. It's getting quiet all of a sudden. Somebody says, you don't know the battle that I'm facing. You don't know the struggle that's before me. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. Jesus himself walked down into a valley of sin from heaven. The joy in his heart that was before him to leave the glory of heaven to come to a sin cursed. Well, why would he come? Because there was joy before him. There was something that he knew that he must accomplish in order to fulfill that joy in his life. We were all curious spectators watching and wondering, even expecting sure defeat as the King of Glory robed himself in human flesh and went to Calvary. We were all shocked when the stone of our salvation struck the sin a blow to its head, and then we were convinced as he was victorious when the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, cut the head off of sin in our own lives, and we began to realize that we don't have to fear or to be intimidated by its effect and its power anymore, because God, through Jesus, was able to take care of that for us. And when as the children of God saw David on the top from looking down into the valley, be able to raise the head of Goliath and begin to clap their hands and to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, we as God's people know that Jesus, down in the valley fighting for our sins, was able to take the head of sin and raise it as a sign of victory for all who would put their trust in him. And now we know that we are more than conquerors through him. Amen. And we are to be clapping our hands and shouting unto God, knowing that the victory is ours. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. Amen. excitement, people ought to see that, especially over the things about the truth of God's word. And whenever it begins to display itself in joy, then people are seeing that we are in Christ. We are in God, in Theos, right? And so you can get excited about a lot of things. You can be happy about a lot of things. You can be unhappy about a lot of things. There was a lot of excitement in the stands last night, but there was not a whole lot of happiness on the side of Michigan when the game was over. Amen. But there was a lot of excitement for the Notre Dame fan when the game was over. But Michigan, there was a lot of excitement while it was going on. But whenever it got closer to the end and they were starting to read the handwriting on the wall, there was not a lot of excitement going on for half of the crowd or more than half the crowd or whatever the case may be. You guys understand? You can get happy, you can get excited about a lot of things. But friends, when it comes to getting excited about the truth of the word of God, there is something that the Spirit of God begins to reveal to us, and we begin to acknowledge that it is true. It is bearing witness with our spirits, and we are getting excited and encouraged by it, and it begins to show itself in that excitement or in that joy in our life. That is all God. It is in Theos. It is God getting excited about himself. Amen. Isn't that something? God gets excited about himself. And so that began to be revealed in human vessels like you and like me. For God to work his work in and through us. Where does God that worketh in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure? And if it's his power that operates through us, listen, then it is his excitement or his joy that is being demonstrated through us. Amen? Jesus said, I come that you might have joy, and then that your joy might be complete, right? He says, you have received my joy, and then I want you to have my joy, and then I want your joy to be full. Isn't that interesting? He came to give us his joy, to know that you have the joy of God in Theos, right? And then how that is displayed relationally in the world in which we live, they see it as our joy. But we all know it's not really our joy. It's his joy that has overtaken who we are as individuals, and now his joy is being displayed through us. Amen. And so God gets all the glory. He did all the work. Amen. We've just been the recipient of the blessings of God. And so praise the Lord that we have that kind of attitude and that kind of presence in this world. Now, I understand that there's a lot of difficulties that we face in this life, and sometimes it's hard to separate who we are and what's actually going on. And the Bible says that there is a time for weeping, and there is a time for rejoicing. There is a time to plant. And there is a time to reap. There is a time for every season of what happens in this life. But I'm also here to tell you that even if things are bleak, God's people are victorious over everything. That's the position that we have in Christ. And so whenever you feel discouraged, whenever you feel defeated, whenever you feel like there's no reason for praise, you just need to start counting your blessings. Come on. Amen. Anybody have any blessings that you could start counting? It is the times that you feel all alone, when you feel like nobody really cares, that if you'll just sit back and start thinking about what you don't have or what you do have versus what you don't have. And then you will find out that God has blessed you with so many things that you can begin to thank him for. And the Bible said, amen. And the Bible says, take off your coat whenever you're hot. Actually, it doesn't say that, but that's what I'm doing. The Bible says that when you thank God, entering into his gates with thanksgiving. And this is a picture of the children of Israel coming to worship God whenever his presence was in the Holy of Holies. They're getting closer to where God was residing in the tabernacle or in the temple. As they would walk through the gates that were surrounding the city or the gates that were surrounding the tabernacle, they would come with thanksgiving on their lips. And the thanksgiving, listen, it translates this way. Whenever you begin to thank God, you start moving closer into his presence, acknowledging what he has done for you. You need to stop and count your blessings and thank God for what he has done for you. Family, food, place to stay, car, vehicle to drive. You realize that in America, you are among the 10% of the wealthiest people on the planet, that 90% of the people on this planet do not have what you give thanks to God for every day. Running water. Amen. That's why we're so excited about bringing the love of God to Uganda, to a place where these people have no idea what it's like to live in America or in a place where God has tremendously blessed you. And you are among the people. God didn't cause you to be born in Africa someplace. Amen. You ought to thank God that you were born in America. Hey, how many of you were born in America? Maybe not all of you were. But that's something you just take it for granted because you've always been here. Thank God for what you have. And then whenever you begin to count your blessings and thank God for all that he has done for you, then you find yourself getting closer and closer to where he is and in his presence. As we talked about earlier, ascending into the hill of the Lord, getting closer to the presence. When you begin to see him more for who he is in his glory, right? You can't help but to transfer your thanksgiving into praise. You thank God for what he has done. You praise God for who he is. You know, as a musician, as a music director for so many years, I'd always see the balance of what the scripture says about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, the psalms are those songs that just kind of praise the Lord, right? Amen? The hymns are those songs about the doctrines of God and what God has done for us. When you sing those things, then you're reminded of what Christ has done for us and what God has done for us. And there's a part of our heart just reaching to heaven in thanksgiving as we sing the doctrines of God and what he has done. And then we move on into the Psalms. It's the easy transition as you get closer to his presence. You just praise God for who he is. Some people say, I don't want to sing songs about God. I want to sing songs to God. Well, you know, I understand that. But in eternity, that's all you're going to do is sing songs to God. But he has called us to go into the world and to be evangelists and to let people know what God has done. And so a good song about what he has done is appropriate that moves us right to the place where we can sing praises to him for who he is. Amen? I don't know if you follow on this, but the spiritual song is kind of like a testimony of my life that I set to music, or someone else's life that's been set to music that you can relate to as you hear them singing about God had delivered them from one place and brought them to where they are today. Praise God for that. Amen? But joy. It's hard to have joy, or to show that you have joy, when you look like you've been sucking on a dill pickle or drinking apple cider vinegar. Oh, yeah. That's for health purposes, but it's sure not for my countenance, right? So if you have joy, I think God's people should be to the place to where we can demonstrate the joy that God has given to us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. Listen, if you're not living an abundant life, you are living beneath. hungry whenever your pantry's full of food. It doesn't make sense. All right? It's like stressing out over your next payment whenever you got plenty of money in the bank. It just doesn't make sense. Right? You have abundant life that is offered to you through Jesus Christ. And if you're not exercising that, you're living beneath your privileges. And really, it doesn't make sense to God why you would want to live there. It doesn't really make sense to other believers in Christ why you choose to live beneath your privileges whenever the abundant life has been offered to all of us. Amen? Through Jesus Christ. Don't worry. Be happy. I know that's a song, but the guy who wrote that song was not the first one to think of that. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to live a life of joy. The fruit, the evidence of the Spirit-filled life is number one, love. Number two, joy. Amen? This is how the world knows that we live for God. There's love in our heart, and then there's joy. It should be the kingdom of God. I love this. Romans chapter 15, 17, I think. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hey, if you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and you're not demonstrating righteousness or peace or joy, you're hypocritical to pray the prayer. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. Come on. This is what God expects from us, that the kingdom of heaven can come to earth through the workings of his Spirit, through his people, that's you and me. Amen. Joy. It is expected that you have joy. It is the evidence of the Spirit-filled life. And the world needs to see the glory of God operative in your life. Your family need to see it. Your friends need to see it. Your work associates need to see joy. Every person that is in your realm of influence needs to see a demonstration of love and joy in your life, along with the other fruit of the Spirit. But I'm not preaching on all the other ones. I'm preaching on joy today, so you get the picture. Amen? What is our purpose for being on this planet? Well, it's to glorify God. You can't do that if you're hiding the joy of the Lord. But rather, you would present hopelessness to others who live around you if there is no joy in your life in the midst of your struggles and your circumstances that they themselves are in the midst of. But whenever you can show joy, you're showing them hope that there is a way for them to know that all things will be taken care of. A life that distinguishes itself from the rest of the world. Now, three things that I'm going to be done this morning. I know we're getting close to the 12 o'clock hour. I don't know what time you're used to getting out of here. Brother Thad may let you out. I think he told me about 12:45 or 1 o'clock is when you're used to getting out. And so we'll be done in just a quick moment here, but I have three quick points. I don't have a lot under them, and so I heard this the other day, and it just really described a lot of the people that I'd been around, and I understand that culturally we all grow up differently. We have our pattern, we have our habits, we have our approaches, and our attitudes sometimes is shaped by our environment and what we have learned from other people. But there's something else that I've learned working in Uganda, that sometimes we can be in bondage to a culture, and we can do things habitually or because it has been a tradition in our church or in our family or whatever, and we may not even understand the reasons why we're doing those things, but we just know that we have learned it through the years, and so we practice what we have learned. And yet, your culture may not necessarily be wrong in certain things, but we are not here to conform to the culture that we grew up in. We're here to be conformed to a gospel culture. Amen? And what the Bible says is to be expected of us. And whenever we begin to live that way, we will find, in many cases, that our world will reject us for it. families and friends will turn us away as a result of us embracing a gospel culture. And to somehow try to marry our traditional views and our things that have happened in our past to a gospel culture is almost sacrilegious, and it sends a distorted view of the grace of God to the world around us. And so we should be more concerned about glorifying God and honoring Christ. Amen. And so I don't know what that does for you, but it tells me that I've got a long way to go. Amen. And breaking free and living in the power and the abundance of Christ. Sometimes we are so dignified in our religion that we forget that we've been justified and sanctified and glorified. Amen. Let's get the right eye behind us. Amen. Let's not be so dignified that we can't rejoice in justification, sanctification, and glorification. Amen. Listen, we are to have joy in our salvation. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once there was a hindrance to joy when the shepherd lost one of the 100. He had 99, but that was one thing, one sheep missing. There's a lot of blessings that you have, but friend, if you're not experiencing the abundant life, then you need to go on a search for what it is that is keeping you from having the joy that you ought to be having. You can never truly be satisfied and full of joy as long as there's one missing. And so he goes on a search for that lost lamb. Searches high and low. He's listening. Maybe there's a storm. Maybe the wind blowing. He's having this. He's just going and going and going until finally he finds his lost lamb. Then he is overjoyed. The lady has 10 coins. She loses one. The coins were a symbol of her worth and her value. She still had 9. I mean, everybody who would see her wearing that headdress with those coins on it, maybe they're not seeing the 9. Maybe she's not seeing the 9. Maybe all she can see is that empty place. Realizes that her value is not where it ought to be because that coin is missing. And so she starts searching the house. Sometimes what it is that you're missing can be hidden under the dirt in your life. And so she sweeps the house. It's a dust storm in that house, right? She might be sweeping it up and dust is rising. She's trying to fan it out and the house until finally she finds the coin. And then the Bible talks about great joy in her heart. How many of us really want the joy of God unrestrained, unhindered in our lives? Maybe we need to sweep out the dirt in our lives to find what it is that God really wants us to have. Or that lost son who went his way. And the father, no matter how much he was secure and everything else that he had around him, there was one thing missing that was preventing him to have fullness of joy. And his son, who was lost, needed to be found. His son, who in his mind was dead, needed to be proven alive. And so his joy was restored when he saw his son coming from a way off. Amen? Some of us have a hindrance to our joy that is a way off. And whenever we see it a way off, we need to be like the father and start running towards it. Amen? To embrace it and to bring it back into our life. We have joy in our salvation. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was a slave to sin, but praise God, now I'm redeemed. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was headed for hell, but now I'm a citizen of heaven. And because of knowing these things, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Joy in salvation. We're saved by the facts. We're not saved by the feelings. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, we're saved by facts. It's exactly right. And you're not saved by your feelings. But friend, I'm here to say that whenever the facts are fully received, it affects our feelings. Amen. Just to know saying, verse 47, so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. That's who you are, a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't distract us when people persecute us. It doesn't affect our joy. Right? You realize that if it's not for them right now, you just shake the dust off of your feet, because you know that God has others that need to hear the message that you have for them, and you go in faith knowing that you're going to encounter them as you follow the leadership and the direction of God. You just shake the dust off of your feet and you continue to go in joy, knowing that God has called you to be a servant. There is joy in serving the Lord. Sure, your heart is broken for those who refuse the gospel. Sure, it hurts you to know that your friends and your family are not coming to faith in Christ. But don't give up praying for them. You just keep going and sharing the word. Amen? God is not going to allow his word to return unto him void. And you never know what can happen in the interim of time as you plant the word of truth, the seed of truth, into someone's heart. That God may allow that to be nurtured and that it will grow and bear fruit. Praise the Lord. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That was just kind of a passing verse. I hope you like that one. Amen. So there it is. And then finally, not only is there joy in salvation, not only is there joy in service, but I kind of like this one. There is joy in our stewardship or in our giving. For God loveth a what kind of giver? Does God love you? This is what got me. Does God love me? He loved a cheerful giver. Does God love me? Whenever I give, am I giving cheerfully? Help me. All right. I know this one hurt. It hurts me. I know it hurts a lot of people. Does God love? Well, surely he loves me, but you know what I mean in this context of my giving. Does God love the way that I'm giving? A happy and a hilarious giver. A cheerful giver. I mean, you can't wait. You can't wait for the offering plate to come. That is not our experience. Now, is it? If be truthful, that is not my experience. This is I can wait for the offering plate. No. Some of us get to the place to where we are happy and almost hilarious about wanting to give the first fruits of what God has blessed us with in the week and give it back to God, because there is a faith in God that he can do more with what we offer to him, because he is a sovereign God and knows where the needs really are, that he can bless it and he can multiply it, just like he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he can get the job done where it needs to be done. And so we come with that kind of expectancy and that kind of faith, and we just can't wait to give God. Don't give until it hurts. Give because it hurts. Amen. Give because it hurts. There's joy. It's sacrifices. I think of Jesus, who sacrificed his all, and yet the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. There is joy in sacrifice. He didn't give until it hurt. He gave because it hurt. No man taketh my life from me. I willingly give it. And at the end of the scourgings, and at the end of the beating, and at the end of the criticism, when the nails were in his hands and when his had me reconciled to a holy God. Wow. Wow. Joy. And whenever we give our lives, which in many cases is represented by our money, because we have exchanged a certain amount of our lives and our energies and our talents, we've given it to an employer for X amount of hours to get so many dollars per hour, represents your life. Giving of yourself, giving up your money, you're sacrificing that and giving it to God because you know that God is able to reconcile people to himself. When you give to the church, you are helping to facilitate the gospel being preached from this pulpit. To have the air conditioners running, right? Keep the building and the grounds up. And then also your money is going outside of these walls in mission endeavors around the world. And you should be so excited to be a part of the body of Christ where you can contribute your life, your energy, your talent to keep things right here at Jerusalem going. Amen. And then be able to invest in the gospel going out to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. You should be so excited and filled with joy to want to give to those projects and to give to those missions endeavors because you know that as Christ had joy set before him in all of his suffering, that whatever sacrifice is coming out of your pocket, whatever sacrifice it is for you to give a certain day or a certain amount of your day to come to church and do this event or that event, that is all for the purpose of reconciling a sinful world to a holy God, and it should thrill you. And you should be overwhelmed with joy at the possibility and the prospects that God would use even you. I don't care how long you've been saved. It still thrills me to know that God would count me faithful and that he would put me in the ministry. I don't deserve it, but here I am. Amen? And you don't deserve it, but God wants you to serve him. There's joy in salvation. Never forget it. Never forget the pit from where you were dug. Amen? The sin where you were and then how he took you out of that and set your feet on a rock and established your going. Never forget there's joy in salvation. But there's joy in serving the Lord. And there's joy in giving or being a good steward of that which God has entrusted to your care. It is required of stewards that we be found faithful. And if you are faithful over a few things, you say, I only make so much money in a month or in a year, you be faithful with that. Amen? Give to God what belongs to him. Be faithful with that because God will make you a ruler over many things if you're faithful over a few things. He looks at your heart and he knows where you are. And if he can trust you to channel his money through you and the little, he can trust you to channel his money through you in the lot. Amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, dear God, for joy. I thank you, Lord, that it is a fruit of the Spirit. I thank you, God, that your children are the only ones who can truly experience or express joy. God, we remember salvation. We remember the cost of our salvation. And Lord, we feel so unworthy, but yet you loved us in spite of our sinfulness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, it is hard to explain, but Lord, as much as we feel so unworthy of such a sacrifice, we are filled with joy knowing that it is true. And then to be able to serve you. Lord, what a privilege, what an honor, Lord, it is to serve the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And as the motto of 12th Street is being a game changer and knowing that we are kings and priests unto God, and we represent you to this world and we serve you before others. Lord, what a privilege it is to serve. There's joy in that service. And then God, to be able to be good givers are stewards of that which you have entrusted into our care. God, we just pray that you would continue to challenge us to new heights. Lord, that it would be the prayer of our hearts. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm grateful for the upward wave, and I'm looking back a few years, and I see where I was, but what I see that I am ascending closer and closer to you, to a greater awareness and an acknowledgement of your presence, Lord, in my life. But I also see that I've got a long way to go. So my prayer is, God, that you would help me to be on the upward way, and that, Lord, you would put my feet on higher ground. Lord, may joy be realized in all of our hearts this morning. I pray for those who may be here this morning, Lord, who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They're not sure that their sins have been forgiven. They're concerned about eternity. There's no peace in their life. No. Matter of fact, Lord, if death were to claim them even right now, they're fearful of where they're going to spend their eternity. God, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to them, Lord, even through this message, how much you love them, that you are willing to go to Calvary to pay the debt for every person's sin on the cross. And all who would receive by faith the payment for their sin on Calvary's cross through the holy sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Lord, whosoever would call upon his name as Lord could be saved. But I pray that you would cause them, even this morning, to respond to that love, that they would be willing to give everything about their lives to you, because you have demonstrated that you are willing to give all for them. So, God, I pray that joy would be realized in their lives, that this great, tremendous grace, Lord, could be theirs to receive this morning. We love you. We thank you, O God, for your love for us. And we pray that you would bless this time of an invitation as we respond. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to invite you this morning. You just stand very quietly to your feet. If you're here this morning and you have many things to give thanks to God for, would you begin to name those things silently, even right now? God, thank you for these things. I am so blessed. Your family, good friend, place to live, many things, good job, whatever it is. Would you just thank God for that right now? Let it move you to a new place. As you thank God, just get closer to an acknowledgement of his presence with you. Unworthy as we are, but yet God has blessed us, and we're thankful for these things. Good church family, good pastor, opportunities that are before you to live a fulfilled and a satisfied life and serving God. A lot of things that we have to thank God for. Just praise God now for who he is. He is your salvation. He is your sustainer. He is the provider of all of those things that you have thanked him for. He is true. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. He is the sovereign one. He is in control of every situation and circumstance of your life. And he is working all things together for good to them that love him. Just praise God for that. Oh, does it cause a smile to come from your heart and try to express itself on your face? Just to know that God is who he is, and you can praise him for that. Then would you just thank God for opportunities to invest in his work and to be a kingdom promoter? while we're still here. One day, our work will be done. We'll enter into our rest. Heaven is sure. And one day we'll realize it, but until then, there's work to be done. So let's work faithfully until we hear the trumpet sound and the eastern skies open wide. Christ comes to receive his church into himself. Oh, what joy will be manifested on that day. But let's not wait till that day to show the world the joy that the Holy Spirit has placed in each and every one of us. Can we be challenged this morning to go forth with an acknowledgement of who we are in Christ and who Christ is for us? That we can face the world outside of these walls with a smile and with a joy, unlike that we have utilized in the past, just because we're remembering and we're meditating on what we know about God. May it transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I fully expect next week for you to come to the house of God and make Brother Thad go into shock. Just excited about what God is doing and what he has done and what he will do. Joy unlike you have ever expressed before. Excited about the things of God, what he has done. Starting with the people that you rub shoulders with every day. Amen? Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. God bless you. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You ready to go? That's good. We got one more song that we're going to sing for you. Are you coming to do an offering
right
now?
I am. I can have the ushers come forward. At this time, we'd like to take a love offering for the Allen family as they come up and get ready to sing the last song. I don't know about you, but I have been blessed today just to hear that, you know, we are filled with the joy that we have a Savior. And we ought to explode that to others. That joy that's filled with us, we should be filling that joy with other people. So I was blessed today with that message, and I hope you guys were too. And as the ushers come forward. I'd just like to take a love offering for the Allen family and just show them the type of excitement that we have for them to share God's word with us through the message that Brother Allen shared, but also the music that they share with us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, to give us that opportunity to be filled with the joy that you want us to have, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as we are filled with that joy, Lord, I pray that we can live through that and let our lives shine with that joy through you, Lord. Lord, I just pray this in your name. Amen.
One, two, three, four.
In this time of desperation, generation.
here for and have service tonight, right? You don't. Don't be back here tonight. Come down to Klein's RV Resort and hear the Allen tonight. I'll be back here Wednesday night, 6 o'clock for the meal and 7 o'clock. 5:30 for the meal, 7 o'clock. We'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless you all. Have a great day.